Accession number 19912, Reel 5.
Mr. Winder, Reel 5.
We looked to the papers, we looked what was in their luggage they had with them, and certainly a document came into my hands. I looked at the document, said nothing to Colonel Hillier, but said, I have to see Brosset immediately. I went to General Brosset, showed him the document. He said, I will immediately contact de Gaulle. Back came. He has to go immediately to Switzerland, find out if what is written in that document is real. He has to swear that nobody but you and he and me know about this document. He will be shot if he will talk about this document. I want, after he comes from Switzerland, immediately know the truth of that. I did swear that I would not talk, that I would go to Switzerland, find out. I would put in civil clothes, went to Switzerland, found out that it was true, and went back, informed de Gaulle, and then again I had to swear with the hand on the Bible that nobody ever would have knowledge of this document. In 64, 20 years after the invasion in Cavalier, in southern France, there was the 20th anniversary. I asked de Gaulle to let me go out of that oath so I could use it in my book when I one day would write it in the book. He said, by no means, this document has been deposited until 2045. Nobody of those who did live will ever be involved, because if it would be published, come to knowledge, you know exactly well as I, that would be the Third World War. So even now, I can't talk. That the documents exist, Le Poitvin knows that such a document exists, General Simon knows, and myself, all others are dead. And I will take it with me into my grave.
And it was a document taken from a German soldier?
From a German officer. So that was a very important thing. And nobody ever will know about it. They could kill me, I still wouldn't talk. I owe that to de Gaulle and to my own people. That is something I would like to put in, because it really was something which was a mission I would say nobody ever have thought of. Okay, we were in Naples, I think, yeah. In Naples we were preparing for the invasion. Unfortunately, in Naples, one Sunday, there came a battle between American forces, British and Free French on the other side, in the city. Nobody knows how it started, but we were called in. We couldn't stop it. Each time a French soldier or an English soldier came on the street, and some came out of a cinema, they were attacked by the Americans. And when I came in with my Jeep, and I saw it, and I draw my revolver, I had a pistol of an American lieutenant on my head, and he said, if you make the slightest move, I kill you. What we did, we called headquarters, and in came an American general, a British general, and a French general. And they told the soldiers to stop, otherwise they would all court-martial if they didn't stop immediately. This is not a way to do. And it took 5 hours to calm the situation down. I don't know why and where it started, because I was called in with my comrades only when it was going already.
Do you mean it was the Americans on the one hand against the English?
The English and French on the other. That is very well known this Sunday. I think it was mentioned, I don't know, it was mentioned in one of our we have these
journals.
It was mentioned months ago on it. All the soldiers immediately moved to Taranto, down the south of Italy, and to Lecce, which is the most south of Italy. We were embarked on the boats. They were embarked on the boats already, because they didn't want the risk anymore to have anything like that. And on the 15th of August of 44, myself, my comrades, were on a special mission to go with the first wave on to France. We landed on a submarine. We were on a submarine, shipped, and then on one of these boats, you know, the invasion boats. We were transferred on an invasion boat, and the invasion started with commando rate on our right hand. We, with the first wave of the Americans, and I had the mission with my comrades to make contact with the FFI, which is a force interior, and we had no jeeps, we had nothing, we had all, the only thing we had were our legs, and we gave, we went after the lines, behind the lines, the German lines in the darkness, gave a complete different orders in German to the artillery, stormed some of the commando positions of the Germans, got them out, and make contact with the force interior. One of these force interior men said, well, how are you moving around? I said, with my legs. I said, I give you a good thing. I have a beautiful horse. I will give it to you, and you can go on the horse much quicker than you go, and easier than if you have to march. So stupid as I had never been on a horseback. And I got on that horse, and next morning when the first division landed, first thing I saw and came was Brosset with his jeep and with his aide-de-camp, who was the famous leader of French film star. What's the name?
Don't worry, we'll come back to you. Don't worry, we'll come back to you later.
Yeah. And he said to me, are you crazy? On a horse? On the cement? You don't ride a horse on the cement. I said, General, how do I move as fast as I have to move with all the others? He said, where is your jeep? I said, my jeep isn't yet there. I can't help it. I have to move somehow. He said, I don't want you on the horse. He said something to me, I don't remember exactly what it was, you could translate it as, you are looking like an idiot on that horseback. And he laughed at me and said, give that horse back and I will see that you get your jeep, which he did. So we got on, and now it came certainly to the worst battle I personally have been in. And that was on the way to Toulon. The golf club at Hyères. Hyères is the town. I think you have heard of that battle. Actually, if you later on, we had just the memorial done for what for the first Free French Division in Hyères, and there are some pictures of it. Now, the Battle of Hyères was terrible. The Germans had put themselves fortified in the golf club hotel, and we couldn't see the firing guns, because each time the gun fired, it did go automatically down into the calves. All around the hotel, there were bunkers, caves, where the soldiers, the German soldiers, were in. We couldn't reach them. And whatever we did, we had awful losses. In a certain moment, and maybe I was the man who could, who through his action had the fortune to stop after many, many hours this terrible battle. The losses were, I lost my best comrades. It was unbelievable. I had to march over my own comrades who were lying there and we couldn't help. When a German lieutenant with a white flag came out of one of the caves and Brosset said to me, go what he wants. And I went and he said, we will surrender, but only on one condition, that you will put our commanding officer immediately into a field hospital, otherwise he will die, and we want him safe. So I went back to Brosset and I told him. He said, okay, go with him and try, but be careful, it may be a trap. I went with this German officer into the cave and I saw immediately this colonel which one leg was already away, his left arm was only hanging on his shoulder, only with a piece of flesh still. He was in a terrible condition and was conscious. When certainly a young German soldier cried out, Mama, Mama, I want to see you, I want to go home, this is not for me, let me go home, please, I want to see my mother. It was something terrible, you can't imagine. And I just in German called out, hold your tongue, nobody had asked you to come here, damned German Nazi. It was a reaction on all I had of my own part of losses in my on my part. So they surrendered. We brought the colonel to the field hospital, and I was told that he died 4 hours later. But this changed, actually, the battle, because when the others saw that part of their people surrendered, they started to think, and they may have thought that they were also been in the same condition. So it took all day, the battle. I lost my best friends. I again had never nothing. And as my comrade just wrote to me, you remember that Brosset forced you to take this new lieutenant with you into the first battle line. And when he came back, he said, oh my God, what happened to the DCR? What will happen then to the whole division? DCR is a detachment of commander reconnaissance and at the same time control routier. We were at the same time police military. And it was unbelievable. Nobody can describe this better. And I frankly I don't want to go into further it because it hurts me still. still now, when I think of it and talk about it, I don't like to talk about it. We went after that battle on the way on to Toulon. Toulon surrendered, and there came again an order from London for me personally. And something funny did happen. Nobody should have known in the division, not even Brosset was told, that I had to go on a special mission. Some of the French Secret Service who, after the Battle of Toulon and after we had taken the prisoners to a prisoner camp, I was working in the afternoon, late afternoon, with one of my comrades in Toulon, looking around, because it's a beautiful city, when I got hit on my head and woke up again in the hospital in Aix-en-Provence.
What's it hit you on the head?
I think it was one of our Secret Service men, because it came out when I woke up that my the nurse who came, he said, "Oh, you are living. There is somebody who wants to talk to you." In came a colonel I never had known from the Free Friends from London, who had naturally his document that he was entitled to talk to me and what he talked to me. And he said, "We want you to do a special mission nobody should know about at the moment, because we suspect that there will be an offensive in the Ardennes in northern France." And we have to find out there's something funny going on. And we did it such way, I have to tell you, that even your parents in Montevideo have been told that you were killed in action. I said, "What? Are you crazy? You tell my parents in Montevideo? That is no good. Which right you have to do that?" He said, "Well, that are the orders." I said, "Look, I'm not going anywhere if not immediately you will tell the embassy in Montevideo to go back to my mother and tell her that nothing, that it was an error, that I am alive. But I was wounded, and that's all." So he consulted them, and they had to do it. And the first secretary of the embassy did go back to see my mother. My mother told me later, when I came back to Uruguay in 46, she told me that he came back and told her that something was wrong, that I was only wounded, that I was alive. I was very angry at that moment. very angry. To get me out of the division like that, to do a special mission that nobody should know of, fine. But to tell my parents that I was killed, that was too much for me. So they had to, this time, to do it my way. I went behind the German lines, found out what was to find out. Never thought that I would come back alive, but I had with me a pill, you know, I don't know how to call it. Which when you bite it, it takes three seconds and you are away. Because if they would have captured me, I think they would have put me to torture, and I didn't want to be tortured, and to perhaps been not able to withstand.
Can you tell me about the mission?
Yes, I had to find out what was going on in the general staff, if they were planning this offensive or not. And I found out Lundstedt was to attack. What we didn't know, as you find a bit later, that the first wave of the offensive, the German soldiers came all in American uniforms. That is very well known. I mean, everybody knows about that. That is not a secret. But that even I didn't know. I couldn't find out either. So I came back.
But where did you go to?
Pardon?
Where did you go to find out?
Stuttgart. To Stuttgart. I was parachuted into Stuttgart. And in Stuttgart there was at that moment the Southern France German headquarters, or Middle France, from Middle France headquarters. And I came back for ways we knew through Switzerland. Bernier, Stuttgart is not very far from Switzerland, and from there, from Switzerland to France again. And
but where did you go in Stuttgart?
Because there was a German.
How did you get into the headquarters?
Pardon? I didn't go into the headquarters. I talked to officers. With false credentials, you see. There was a lot of things going on sometimes which nobody knew about. And that was very good, because there was a lady, a Jewish German lady, Edith Katona. She was in the Deuxième Bureau officially. And she was born in Austria. She played ping pong with a German general and found out about it. She was beautiful, a beautiful girl. And she found out about everything in Sicily, the whole positions in Sicily. So when